favorite moments from growing up is watching Dee Snider walk down and testify before Congress. Ah, oh, it's awesome. One of the best things ever. Look it up, folks. If you haven't, the young people, go check out Dee Snider in front of Congress. Pretty darn, pretty good there.
Pretty cool there.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to talk to us about the current state of democracy or how this country works versus how it's supposed to work, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Josh Call just said he will not be pursuing any prosecution of anybody for having an abortion in this state while he's still Attorney General, and right. which, if Roe v. Wade gets overturned. Okay. And which we both agree with, and we both...
I agree with the sentiment, yes.
I agree with the sentiment. But again, the law is the law, and the law is supposed to apply to everybody equally, right? Depending on who it is. And that's what the whole point of us being a separate democracy, representative democracy that we are. This is the whole point of saying, you know what, screw you, George. We're not going to do this. King George, I mean.
Yeah.
George the Third. Because, you know, no taxation without representation, all that thing. The whole point of it is that the law needs to apply equally to everybody. And that's the whole freaking...
Well, yeah, the words in the preamble. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union. We're supposed to be striving for a more perfect union, and for the last better part of 50 years... Roe v. Wade has been the law of the land, and it's been every Supreme Court justice that has been appointed in the past number of decades has been asked what their stance is on Roe v. Wade. And all of the conservatives currently on the court, which they hold a 6-3 majority on the U.S. Supreme Court, they were all asked and said, oh, no, Roe v. Wade is codified law. We're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And now, as soon as they have the majority of 6-3, they're going to, you have conservative states going and saying, well, we're going to go challenge Roe then, because we think right now is our shot to overturn it. And maybe if that's the case in those conservative states, maybe a state that is being, having the state government being run by, say, a Democratic attorney general, then he should be able to get how he wants to enforce that law, because Texas didn't adhere to the law of the land either, Brian, when they passed that. They passed a law that strictly put a thumb in the eye of Roe v. Wade. They knew it would go to the Supreme Court and present a challenge of that codified law that all of those conservative justices said they would uphold. And now when the rubber hits the pavement, excuse me, it's a Wednesday, but I'm having a real bad case of Monday mouth today.
You're gaslit, dude. I am
fired up today. But when this is actually going to be heard in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, we're going to find out where those justices stand, and I don't think it looks good for the country. I don't think it does.
No, not
at
all.
And so I think Josh calls what he's doing is right, but I don't feel right about it, I guess, Brian.
To the point, do laws only get applied differently depending on who's in power? And apparently they have been. Look at the last two administrations, the way that the Department of Justice has gone after or not gone after different people, how the law is applied and which people they prosecute, which people they don't. I know that we have already had problems with Merrick Garland's Department of Justice because of their lack of actually going after people, their lack of accountability, which is what we were looking for from the previous DOJ. But my point is, shouldn't it all be the same,
yeah,
or at least on the same road? I mean, come on. What do you guys think? 844-967-2789. My daughter right now is in fourth grade. She's learning about how this country works. And every single person she says, hey, I'm learning about how the government works, the three branches of government and everything. Literally every person that she has talked to about this when I've been in her presence has given us like a just a cynical.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah, something like that.
That's bless your heart thinking that the government works a certain way. How do you think the government works, Susan, from her car? How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I actually was calling about Luke's point about voting. And
please
actually,
do.
Listening to Tom Hartman, Tom Hartman is that the reason that they want to have more observers and people in those spots, because then they can make more provisional ballots, and those don't get counted. So the provisional ballots don't necessarily get counted. So, for example, if you come in and your handwriting has changed and they think that you might not be you, then they can say, well, you can vote. We'll give you a provisional ballot. So just think back to the election. So if 20,000 of those had been put in a provisional ballot, they may or may not have been counted.
Yep.
So
yeah, I think
that's where the problem lies.
That would be an interesting aspect too, Susan, and maybe Hartman. I don't know if Hartman was talking about specifically here in Wisconsin, but the way around that, I guess, is I believe there are a lot fewer instances of provisional ballots just because you can register same day here in the state of Wisconsin. So if somebody really had a contention with Mark's signature not matching his previous signature on the books, Mark could use those documents to register same day and then still cast a normal ballot, because those aren't provisional ballots. If you register with all of the paperwork at your proper polling place and you fill out a new registration, you can just register same day in the state of Wisconsin, at least.
Okay.
Yeah, so I appreciate the call, and we appreciate you listening to us here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and this is, again, I always use a football analogy or a baseball analogy or a sports analogy, not to go and alienate people who don't like sports, but mostly because it's something that universally we can all understand. So what I like to say is, you know, I love the brutality of football and everything like that, but I also want to do it in a safe way to do so, right? So I want laws and rules to go and make sure that, you know, football is played properly so that the guys can go and give it their all,
yeah,
and make sure they go 150%
at each other. Right, that's why we get new helmets and everything like that each year. So
I also am pissed when, because of one ref sees one thing, it's, you know, pass interference,
yeah,
or maybe it's not. Or if Tom Brady is playing, oh, magic, look, it's pass interference again. Amazing.
Or roughing the passer. Guys
exactly.
Like Brady and Rodgers get those ones all the time. But we got one more call left here in today's show. We got Ron on the west side of Madison calling in. Ron, what's on your mind?
Well, there are three things. One, as far as I could tell, all Robin Voss has ever done in office is gaslight the public. I have never seen him propose anything that actually helps anybody who makes less, who doesn't own property. The only thing I've heard him propose is property tax returns. And it was five times that the governor had called them into executive session, that they refused to do anything. I spent more time at the Capitol during the pandemic primary than the legislature did.
Sounds about right, man. And they still got the per diem, didn't they?
Yeah, they're still collecting the per diem, and we appreciate you calling in with that. So it was five special sessions that they called, that Evers called, that they ignored. So we appreciate your contribution to today's show, Ron. This has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Tune in then.